As your company scales, the hardest part isn't ambition, it's alignment. That's why Atlassian built the Teamwork Collection, an AI-powered teamwork platform designed to help teams move faster together. By connecting Jira, Confluence, Loom, and Rovo, teams can easily align work to real business goals, plan and track progress together, remove knowledge silos, and access the real magic of AI plus human collaboration. Visit Atlassian.com/teamchanger to learn more. That's Atlassian.com/teamchanger. On Masters of Scale, we talk a lot about inflection points, those moments when a technology stops being optional and starts being fundamental. AI presents one of those moments, and behind every breakthrough, whether it's medical research or education or even cinematic visual effects, there's infrastructure most people never see. As the essential cloud for AI, CoreWeave is building that foundation. It provides a purpose-built AI cloud designed specifically for pioneers at leading AI labs and enterprises, ready to power the biggest ideas and the boldest ambitions. Ready for anything, ready for AI. To learn more about how CoreWeave powers the world's best AI, go to coreweave.com/readyforanything.
Startups grow in unpredictable ways, but your infrastructure shouldn't. Deel scales with you from employee one to employee 1,000. Deel's real-time payroll engine cuts weeks-long cycles down to minutes, and their global experts keep you compliant as you expand. Plus, startups can tap into perks like up to $25,000 in Deel credits and support programs designed specifically for high-growth teams. Deel is the fastest way to hire, manage, pay, and equip anyone, anywhere. Deel, your forever people platform. Visit deel.com/MOS to learn more and book a demo.
A mentor is going to tell you the truth, is going to kick your ass, and is going to want you to be the best version of yourself.
What makes a great mentor?
Mentors really kind of teach me about how to win, how to avoid losing, how to avoid some of the bumps they've come through.
How do you get a mentor? How do you even become one?
When you listen to people talk about their mentors, it's like a thing that falls out of heaven, but they're not just falling out of heaven. You have to proactively make them.
You got to have incredible talent at every position.
It's like this huge push.
There are fires burning when you're going home.
Can you believe it?
Such an idiot. And then you go back to, this is totally going to be amazing.
There are so many easy ways.
I'm supposed to know what to do. I have no idea what to do.
Sorry, we made a mistake.
But you have to time it right.
Oops.
Working out of a three-bedroom apartment.
Stuff that just seems absolutely nutballs. 10 years later, I'm like, well, that's just how you do it.
We haven't made it.
Just how you do it.
This is Masters of Scale.
I'm your host, Jeff Berman. So many business leaders recognize the importance of mentorship in their journeys. This is something we hear again and again in our interviews with exceptional founders and thought leaders. Behind every star solo player, there's a strong coach or several coaches. I've certainly experienced the power of a great mentor more than once in my own career. And I've seen their influence in nearly every organization I admire. But these relationships often only appear as footnotes in the longer stories of successful companies. So we're putting a spotlight on mentoring and its relationship to scaling an organization. We dove into the pantheon of Masters of Scale all-star guests to do it. There's always an opportunity to build or rekindle a relationship with a mentor who can have a life-changing impact on you and your business. And if you're interested in playing that role yourself, well, there's plenty here for you too. Let's get into it.
Luke Skywalker needed Obi-Wan Kenobi, right? The modern day Luke Skywalker for me is Diana Nyad. And this is the amazing woman who swam from Cuba to the shores of Florida, a feat that had never been done without a shark cage.
Angela Duckworth is a psychology professor at Penn and the Wharton School and the author of the bestseller Grit.
on her last and successful attempt that she had made after decades of trying and failing to do this. She heaves herself onto shore and she says this, and I'm going to quote you, I'm going to read it to you so I don't get it wrong. She says, "I have three messages. One is, we should never give up. Two is, you're never too old to chase your dreams. And three is, it looks like a solitary sport, but it takes a team."
In our conversation, Angela emphasized mentorship while describing the missteps she's seen so many successful people make, including herself.
When I was growing up, so much of what I accomplished was really trying harder. You know, like sitting there in my BC calculus class and I'm like, I know that Darshak got it faster and, you know, Chan Kim got it faster, but they can't outwork me. Like, I am going to learn BC calculus, right? And I felt like that for, I don't know, 40 years. And even in my own marriage, I thought to myself, wow, you know, my husband is a real estate developer. Well, if you put two and two together, you realize he was a young real estate developer in 2008. It was a very, very stressful time. He was working some weeks 100 hours a week. I was on tenure track at an Ivy League institution. We had two young children who had to be taken care of. Like, there was so much stress. And the only trick I knew was try harder. The only trick I knew was grit. I was like, you know, I'm going to wake up earlier. I'm going to stay up later. I am going to use every ounce of my will to make the life that I need to make for my children and my husband and my career. And I'll tell you that that led to a real crisis. It almost broke our marriage. There were just an unbelievable number of therapy hours that we logged trying to rescue ourselves from the precipice. And what has, you know, struck me now and what I'm writing about is that grit is not enough. We needed to reach out to our friends and actually be vulnerable and not just have small talk, but actually tell them that we were in crisis. He needed to change his work situation. He has an advisory board now of mentors who, you know, kind of help him prioritize in ways that he would never be able to do on his own. I reached out to mentors to, you know, help me figure out my research program and help me accomplish it in more effective ways. And so to me, you know, grit is great. But grit is not enough. And you absolutely need to make your situation your ally if you're ever going to, you know, run the marathon of success. But I think one of the mistakes that I see founders make is because they've had this trick that has gotten them really far in life, like try harder and be independent, right? You know, to not be a slacker, right? To not like whine and get other people to solve your problems. I think the double-edged sword of that is they don't ask for help. When I look back at the mistakes that I've made in advising young leaders, it was to not tell them that first. I'm like, oh, wait, who are you talking to? Like, what's your AA group, essentially, right? If you don't have one, you need to get one right now. What I would say is a number one action step is like you should be in a formal community of other founders, right? I think this is why I'm a big fan of incubators, especially the ones that are, you know, well designed, like Y Combinator. Like there's a power in the solidarity, the accountability, and the peer learning of a group. You know, you want to be in a flotilla, not like off sailing on your own. So that's number one. And the second one is related, which is I think you need to make mentors. When you listen to people talk about their mentors, it's like a thing that falls out of heaven, you know, like, oh, I'm so grateful that this person came into my life and, you know, they put me on the straight and narrow. Right. But they're not just falling out of heaven. You have to proactively make them. It's a relationship and you need to start at the beginning and cultivate and so forth. And I think if we are honest with ourselves, when we think about our most meaningful mentorships, we did have a role in holding up our end of the relationship and even in initiating the relationship. So those would be my two pieces of advice to founders. You know, go find another founder. It doesn't have to be your co-founder for your startup. It could be somebody who's doing something totally different. But you should be meeting regularly, trading stories, crying on each other's shoulders. And then you should go and very proactively cultivate mentoring relationships.
Like Angela says, it's important to be proactive in seeking out a mentor. But sometimes, an opportunity presents itself and the right mentor chooses you. That's what happened to Jimmy Iovine, renowned founder of Interscope Records. Before he produced albums for icons like Bruce Springsteen, Patti Smith, Eminem, and Dr. Dre, He worked as an assistant in a recording studio. He did the dirty work so many of us have done, mopping floors, literally, on his way to the top. Jimmy was waiting for a moment to be invited into the studio to learn the trade. And when that moment arrived, it came with one of the biggest names in music history.
Basically, I walk into the studio and there's my boss, Roy Sakala, and John Lennon. And obviously, before that moment, Roy decided he was going to teach me and take me inside. And through those sessions, teach me how to be a recording engineer. He asked me to come in with the intention of me working with John. And Roy, through me, by working through me, taught me how to engineer records. I had a mentor. And he thought I was strong enough to go in there and deal with it. And it was the greatest 2 years I could ever, ever possibly want. Roy was very, very stern, a very tough guy, but he loved teaching. And he gave me a safe place to be in there. Now, if I screwed up, he'd be the first to crack me over the head. But he was incredible at teaching young people how to become engineers, which makes the idea of a mentor so important, that to make yourself useful and to be of service to that mentor in order for you to get somewhere and not think that you actually belong there. You don't belong there, but somebody could help you feel like you belong there. My first mentor was my father, who was a longshoreman and a very, very modest guy. But he told me growing up, he said, you know, you're a special kid. Every room you go into will be better just because you're there. Now, was that true? I don't know. But I love my dad. If someone believes in you, and if you could be of use in that room, that's a very, very important thing. It's do not breathe your own exhaust, no matter what room you get to go into. Stay humble. And keep focused and drive.
Jimmy's boss, who had produced a score of platinum records, by the way, opened the door to a life-changing hands-on experience. It was mentorship with apprenticeship built in. But not all mentorship appears so overtly supportive at first. Mentors can give brutally honest advice. That was true for Alison Kluger. She's a Stanford business professor and former media executive whose broadcast career includes stints at Good Morning America and The View. Allison says that sometimes mentors take you by surprise.
My first mentor was the woman who I was most frightened of. She was the mentor I didn't know was going to be my mentor. And the reason she became my mentor is that she gave me some radical candor about something that she felt was going to influence my career. I was 21 and I was at Good Morning America. And basically, I was crying one day at work. I was new to the job and I wasn't crying about something that had to do with work. It was personal. And she said, Allison, I don't want to ever see you crying again. Do you know why? And I intuitively knew why, but she told me anyway. She said, you're young, you're female, you're attractive. No one is going to believe you can do your job. No one is going to trust you. No one is going to think you're reliable. If someone says to you, how's your day? You say, I'm having a great day. And if you want to come cry somewhere, you come in my office and close the door. And so she said, do you understand? And I said, I do. And she then kicked me out of her office, and all I wanted to do was cry. I was so mortified, one, that I had been caught crying, and two, that I didn't figure out that it wasn't the right thing to do. But what she did for me is she made me realize the kind of leader that I wanted to be. And I decided that I want to be reliable. I want people to give me work. I want people to trust me. And so the evolution of my personality started then. I was the person everyone went to for help. I got along with everybody. I was unflappable. You know, if something bad happened, I'd go hide in a corridor and just get all the stress out, and then I'd go back to solving the problem. And then she gradually became my mentor. And the fact that she was so honest with me and was willing to tell me something that was hard to hear, that was really the start of me understanding the power of a mentor. And a mentor isn't someone who's going to flatter you and make it easy for you. A mentor is going to tell you the truth. is going to kick your ass and is going to want you to be the best version of yourself.
I spent nearly 5 years in my first job out of school before I was hired to be chief counsel to a member of the Senate leadership. Before I took the job, I went to one of my mentors, a man named Robert Rabin. He is as brilliant as he is kind, as he is wise. And Robert had also worked on Capitol Hill. He told me that on most Fridays, my boss would head back to his state and that most of my colleagues would probably take a light day to catch up, socialize, do whatever. And that I could do that if I wanted to, but that by virtue of the senator's name on the door, I could reach out to almost anyone in America and they would want to talk. Robert asked me, do you know what most people like to talk about more than anything else? And before I could answer, he smiled with sort of a Yoda-like smile, which you would recognize if you knew Robert. And he answered his own question. He said, themselves. And it was obvious once he said it. And Robert told me that my new job was coming with something of a cheat code. And that if I used it, I would have access to the world's treasure trove of knowledge and insights and ideas. And that advice has really helped shape what I think would generously be called a nonlinear career, jumping from industry to industry and role to role. It's been a journey that I've really loved and that I continue to love. And that one bit of mentorship from Robert has really helped shape the past 2+ decades of my life. After the break, how to be a great mentee and how to build a network of mentors among your peers. Hey folks, Jeff Berman here. Exciting news. Applications are now open for the Masters of Scale Summit. It's happening October 20th through October 22nd in San Francisco, and it is a really special event. Please join our curated community of founders, innovators, and leaders shaping the future. Expect ideas that challenge your assumptions and connections that move your business and maybe even your life forward. It's an experience that can change literally everything. Apply now at mastersofscale.com/apply26. That's mastersofscale.com/apply26. AI breakthroughs are quickly reshaping every industry around the world. Healthcare, education, science, entertainment, and beyond. But true global scale only happens when the underlying infrastructure can maintain pace with the rapid speed of innovation. As the essential cloud for AI, CoreWeave is a purpose-built cloud made for the real demands of today's most complex AI models, bringing the pace, performance, and partnership leading pioneers need to continue pushing boundaries. Ready for anything? Ready for AI. To learn more about how CoreWeave powers the world's best AI, go to coreweave.com/readyforanything.
This is Zeb Farbman, co-founder and CEO of Lightrix, a technology company that creates AI-powered video models and tools.
Most of our research was along the border between computer graphics and image processing, and we thought that if we pair our expertise with this new platform, we will be able to create new tools and new creative experiences that no one did before.
But when the generative AI boom disrupted everything, Lightrix seized the moment with a new burst of innovation. They created LTX2, an open-source AI model enabling its users to generate high-quality video content, giving them full creative control from concept to delivery on one platform.
I think a lot of the values that we took from academia reflect how we are thinking about our models. We want them to be open. We want a collaborative environment. And we really, really care about efficiency. We always believe deep research is the key to unlocking a competitive advantage and building cool things. It's even more important during the age of AI.
Start creating today with LTX2 at ltx.studio.
Welcome back to Masters of Scale. We're exploring our favorite lessons on mentorship from the legendary leaders who've told us their stories. One field where mentorship is key to top performance is sports. We had Major League Baseball superstar Alex Rodriguez on Masters of Scale to share insights on how his all-star baseball career relates to his successful business ventures. And he told us he counts one of America's true sports luminaries among his long list of mentors.
Magic Johnson started mentoring me about 20, 25 years ago when I was a really young player in the league. And I thought, wow, if Magic can play for the Lakers and win championships, and he can also be a Hall of Fame businessman in the boardroom, I said, well, I can do it too. And he's got brown skin like me. If he can do it, I can do it. So that was the start of it. And I saw how powerful that was. When I transferred to business, I've had some of the greats not only be my friends, but mentors, and really kind of teach me about the ins and outs, how to win, how to avoid losing, how to avoid some of the bumps they've come through. You know, from Barry Sternlicht to Mark Mastro, who started 24-Hour Fitness, to Mark Lori from Jet, and the big one, Warren Buffett. And I saw how powerful mentorship was in my life. As a mentee, I benefited from that. Now, as a mentor, I have so many young athletes reaching out, saying, I want to get involved in investing. How do I do it? How do I do it? And it's hard to pick them all, but you know, I have at least a dozen that I'm constantly talking to and saying, maybe think about it this way, maybe think about it that way. The very best are the ones that ask the most questions. They're enthused. They lean in. They're very inquisitive. Don't think of mentorship as a transaction. Think of it as a relationship and building bridges. One of the things I've applied to my life is the 10 touch rule. I would try to touch 10 bases 10 times before asking for any single thing, whether to be my investor, my partner. I wanted to build real credibility. And how you do that is by going narrow and deep and figuring out creative ways of, can I send an article? How do I celebrate? How can I give credit? How can I make a connection? Everybody can be helped in some way. And it's your job as a mentee to create that and just be humble, grateful, and appreciative for their time.
Humility and gratitude. Both are important qualities to bring to your relationship with a mentor, to be sure they feel how valuable they are to you. And sometimes mentors become more than that. With a foundation of mutual interests, respect, and admiration, a mentorship can become an active partnership. That's what happened with Alexa Von Tobel. She's the founder and CEO of the personal finance platform, LearnVest.
Literally all of my closest friends are fabulous humans, many of them big entrepreneurs. And we always not only rooted for each other, but really in the moments that mattered were red phones saying, how on earth do you find engineers when the only engineers here work for Goldman Sachs and Bank of America? How do we get them to come learn this new way of the internet? Really building very honest, close friendships. And people always are like, how do you approach networking, Alexa? And I'm like, I don't think I network at all. Like, I build friends. And then I try to do two favors for somebody else before they can do something for me so that I can just be helpful. But that's how I've always approached it. Penny, my business partner, was my mentor, and now she's my business partner. And Lucy DeLand, my best friend of 20 years, who I met undergrad at Harvard. She was a co-founder of Paperless Post. And I don't think mentors is like, you know, older people to younger people. It's dual. Some of my 80-year-old mentors would tell you I'm mentoring them. And I'm like a 20-year-old who's my mentor teaching me about what the next generation cares about. And so I just approach it as friendship, and I'm happier because of it.
Alexa's point is an important one, that there's no single template for mentorship. Learning can happen across industries, across generations, and across geography. And I return to our first insights from Angela Duckworth about how these beautiful relationships only become possible when you first acknowledge that you're stronger with help, instead of putting it all on your back and trying to go up the mountain alone. Mentor relationships showcase generosity, and they offer us great capacity for change. They're clearly worth celebrating. If you have a mentor, this is the moment to reach out to them. And if you're looking for mentorship in your life, we hope this episode inspires you to continue that quest with some practical ways to go about doing it. Oh, and if you have a mentor you'd like to shout out, we'd love to hear about them. You can email us at hello@mastersofscale.com, or the rest of our contact info is in the show notes.
While everyone was debating whether or not Bitcoin was an asset for their portfolio, CoinShares was quietly building the foundation to invest in it properly. CoinShares launched the world's first Bitcoin ETP back in 2015. Today, they manage nearly $6 billion and are profitable through multiple market cycles. CoinShares is publicly traded on NASDAQ Stockholm and announced in September it is seeking a U.S. listing. CoinShares is the one-stop shop for digital asset investment, passive ETFs, active strategies, and mining exposure. Every approach built to institutional standards. CoinShares. The adults have arrived. Learn more at coinshares.com.
Hey, folks, if you enjoyed our recent episode with my friend Matt Abrahams, the brilliant author and academic has his own podcast, Think Fast, Talk Smart. Twice a week, the Stanford lecturer sits down with experts to discuss their best advice to hone and develop your communication skills. Learn to stress less about public speaking, make more meaningful small talk, and much more. You'll always get science-backed strategies and actionable tips you can use right away. And Matt is just a fantastic guy. You're going to love having him in your ear. Listen to Think Fast, Talk Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt. My podcast, Search Engine, has a new two-part series for you. Of all the new technologies coming out of AI, the most transformative one might be driverless cars. They're already on the road in 10 American cities, and they're quickly coming to more. We tell the story of how we got here. The secret team at Google that spent 15 years building what might be the safest vehicle on the road. And we cover the fights brewing in blue cities, where unions and politicians are working to keep those cars off the streets. Listen to Search Engine wherever you get your podcasts.
Masters of Scale is a Wait What original. Our executive producer is Eve Tro. Our senior producer is Trisha Bobita. The production team includes Tucker Ligursky, Masha Makatunina, Brandon Klein, and Timothy Liu Lee. Additional production by Juliette Luini. Our senior talent executive is Stephanie Stern. Mixing and mastering by Aaron Bastinelli and Brian Pugh. Original music by Ryan Holiday. Our head of podcasts is Lital Molad. Visit mastersofscale.com to find the transcript for this episode and to subscribe to our newsletter.